Well, let's just pray real quick to open up, because God wants to do something great in us today, and he wants to speak something awesome to us. So, Father, right now, we thank you for what you're about to do in this house. Father, we thank you for all the potential, all the untapped potential even, all the diamonds in the rough, or the diamonds in the coal. Father, we thank you that you have great and awesome plans for us, better than we think of ourselves. So, Father, we ask, God, that you would help us, God, to believe that. If your word speaks it, we should believe it. Father, help our unbelief. And Father, we thank you that out of this congregation, out of what you're doing here, is going to change nations. It's going to change lives. And Father, you're going to do great things in this house, no matter the size, no matter the people, that this will be a house that's after your own heart and a house that will affect the community, the state, and even the nation. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So good stuff, good stuff. So what the Lord was talking to me about, we've been doing some things. If you've been here for the Ray Light series, it's been great on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been, I would encourage you to show up for it. It's good. You will be very much encouraged by it, and you'll be even challenged by it even to really change some thought process for you. So my title today, if I have a title today, I would say my title today is, Are We Listening and Believing What He Says? Are we listening and believing what he says? You know, we say there's a lot of things we can listen to, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, we have the Bible, of course, but then we have preachers, which are great to listen to preachers. They're great to listen to preachers on TV. I like to listen to a lot of preachers on TV. There's a lot of things, great commentaries to read about the Bible. There's a lot of good worship songs we can sing that's about the Bible, isn't there? There's a lot of good stuff up there. We sang quite a few today. But we can't get caught up in a hearing about all these things secondhand. We need to be able to get it for ourselves. We need to be able to say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to read the word and for God to show himself through that word to me, through revelation. Because it's different when you hear things secondhand or third hand or fourth hand than when you receive it firsthand, isn't it? It's true. It's true. It's right. So like this scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. We can read Matthew Henry's commentary about that. We can hear me preach about it. We can hear Pastor Steve preach about it. We can hear great evangelists preach about it and things like that. We can hear songs about this. But it's not the same as you getting on your face, you getting in the Word, you getting with God and reading it one-on-one and saying, God, show me revelation in this. There's a difference. And God wants to do that in each and every one of us. I mean, when we hear these things second, third, fourth, you know, down the line, it's like the game of telephone. Have you guys ever played the game telephone before? You have? Have you? Maybe some of you are looking at me like Blake looks like, what's telephone? Okay, so what telephone is you tell one person one thing, and then they're supposed to tell you the exact same thing down the line each time to a different person, and then at the end, you should hear the exact same thing that the first person told to you. That's what's supposed to happen. Does that happen? No, it doesn't. So if I were to say to my family, okay, this is me, I'm saying, hey, Samuel, all right, I'm telling my son Samuel, hey, Samuel, tell your mom that I'm going to the grocery store to pick up some eggs, bread, and milk, and I'll be back at 7. Samuel then says, I'm not going to tell mom because I'm busy right now. I'll go tell Abby. Abby. So Samuel says, Abby, dad's going to the grocery store. He's getting eggs, bread, and milk. Okay. Now, was that the same one I told earlier? Not yet. It's close. And then Abby's like, well, mommy's in the back room. I'll tell Evelyn to go tell mommy this. So Abby says to Evelyn, dad's going to be back. He's picking up milk. It's getting a little bit condenser, isn't it? And then Evelyn was like, I don't feel like telling mommy this. I'll tell Izzy. Izzy's a great person to tell mommy, definitely. So Evan says to Izzy, Izzy, daddy's going grocery store. And then Izzy says, I peed on the potty. That's what Izzy says. I mean, come on. We have to be able to not just telephone these things, but we have to get them for ourselves, because things can get kind of lost when we don't do that. Not saying those things are bad, not saying commentaries or singing of songs or hearing other preachers preach and things like that, not saying any of that is bad. But there's a difference between when you receive the revelation of something for yourself than when you're receiving it from someone else. Amen?
Amen.
So, how do we listen? This is very key. How do we listen to what God's trying to tell us? Well, the first thing we have to do is position ourselves to be able to listen. How many of you have a mother that would always say, this is what my mom would say, I want your eyes with me right here. Your eyes right here. Looking at me so you know that I'm telling you this, so I'm understanding. How many of y'all have mothers like that? My mom did that a lot to me. Like, eyes right here. Look at me while I'm talking to you. They wanted that eye contact. And so I had to position myself, put my eyes right there that I know she was looking at me, and know that I was looking at her, that I understand what she was saying. We have to position ourselves to be able to listen. So number one thing that we have to position ourselves to listen is we have to be careful of noise. Noise is a big one. So the scripture I'll use is Matthew 14:13. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. How many of you know it's hard to hear God in the midst of noise? It's true. You got a lot of things going around. It's hard to hear the noise. Now, there are certain situations that you're in that you're like, God, I need to hear you because something's happening. Something's going down right now. I need to know your voice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're getting away, when you need to listen to him, when he's calling you to himself. Jesus withdrew to a solitary place. Now, I remember when I was in high school, I did wrestling. Anybody wrestle in high school? Anybody here? No one? No one wrestled in high school? Oh, man. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's close. That's close. Didn't wrestle? Okay. All right. So high school wrestling, you're in the gym. You have these big mats, and it's very loud. So it's louder than basketball. It's mostly about as loud as football, but it's inside. That's how wrestling is. And so when you're wrestling, everyone's yelling at you to do something when you're on the mat. Everyone's saying, do this, grab the arm, grab the leg, shoot. You know, they're all screaming at you to do something against your opponent because it's just you and your opponent, one-on-one. And so I would be trying to hear what my coach was saying, because he's right here with me trying to tell me, but it's hard to listen to my coach because everyone else has an opinion. Everyone else is yelling at me to do something. And if I'm not tuned in to what my coach is saying, I'm not going to be able to hear anything. We have to get rid of the noise. We have to get rid of the noise. How many of you know, if I was in a one-on-one practice with my coach, wouldn't that be so much easier to hear what he has to say? It'd be a lot easier to hear with him, with all the crowds and everything else. If I'm wrestling on appointment, one-on-one, and I have my coach with me, no other people looking, no other people yelling at me, and I'm hearing what he says, it would be so much easier to understand and hear what he's saying. Wouldn't that be right? That's what we have to do with the Lord. Sometimes we have to get away from everything, get away from the noise. That way we can listen to him and we can receive. Number two, we have to position ourselves to be able to listen and watch out for distractions. Oh, man. Van, why'd you have to go there? I like my distractions. I like just being able to walk into a room and there's a TV on and I just watch it for like 30 minutes. When I knew I was supposed to do something else, I don't know what it was, but I was supposed to do something else. Or if you're really like me, I'll say this. I call it the life waster. That's what I call it. Because I mean, and some of y'all might be involved in the life waster. I'm just going to say that. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it like, You just wasted a whole bunch of your time. So what I'm saying is, when I get on Facebook, not saying Facebook is, but I get on the reels or the videos, and then I start seeing 15 seconds of this, 15 seconds, and you keep on watching all these little 15, 2 or 3 minutes of all these little videos of things that are going on, things that may be interesting, things that are going on, and then you realize an hour later you just spent an hour watching absolutely nothing. Yes, thank you, Frank. Absolutely nothing. You're like, this did not enhance my life at all. This did entertain me. There's no doubt about that for the next hour. But then I realized I just lost an hour of my time. I just wasted an hour of my time where nothing was accomplished. Now, some of that stuff might be okay. You know, I was like, okay, well, there's a fishing video. Do I really need a fishing video to enhance my life? Probably not. But it's fun to watch. And you're like, oh, this is 3 tips on how to fix my golf swing. Okay, that's good. But is that going to help me with my kingdom? You know, is that going to help me with God's kingdom? It might be good to help me, but it's not profitable. So I'm like, oh, so I'm looking at that. That is something that is a distraction. When we look in Luke, oh, there it is. When we look in Luke 8, we see a huge distraction that the people had, and they weren't able to hear from Jesus. So Luke 8, if you're there, turn your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn in there. Or if you have your phones, turn there. Luke 8. And we're going to look at a distraction that the Gerseans, what they had. So Luke 8:33. Great story. Great story, but it really, the Lord really highlighted this when I was reading. I was like, wow, this is so, so sad. So Luke 8:33. So a little preface there. Jesus visits this island, heals the man that had legion in him, legion meaning hundreds of demons. And so then we pick up in verse 34. When those tending the pigs saw that what happened, oh, sorry. Let me rephrase this real quick. So Jesus, instead of sending the demons to hell or wherever, the demons asked Jesus if they could go into pigs instead. So we're going to pick it up from there. When those tending the pigs saw it happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. So Jesus called those demons to go into the pigs. The demons went into the pigs. The pigs ran all the pigs off the cliff and down into the water. Okay? If you don't know the story, that's what it is. So when those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this into the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found a man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. Amen. Come on. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all, not just some, not half, but then all the people in the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. This baffles me, even today. Jesus heals this man of so many demons. The man is restored to his right mind because the villages had to usually put him in chains, and then he would break them and terrorize these people. They were afraid of this man, and then they realized Jesus had healed him of all those demons, caused the pigs to go into the sea from what those demons did. They were terrified and afraid. Now, I love this because this corresponds with the verse I read earlier. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should fear Jesus. Not in a bad way. Not he's going to hammer us or anything like that. We should fear him because he is God. He is reverent. He is awesome. He is all power. We should fear him in a healthy way. But it says also in the scripture verse, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because they let that fear distract them so much and become overcome with it, they couldn't understand the Holy One. Come on, somebody. They could not understand him at all because they let fear distract them, and how powerful he was, distract them from what the truth he could give them. Dear God, help us not to be so distracted on what you've done and what you can do that we say we don't want any part of it. Wow. He could have done so much in that town. He could have done so, give people freedom, give people life, but yet they rejected him because they were so distracted because of that fear. They were so worried about, so overcome with that because of him showing his mighty hand, his merciful hand, distracted over that, that they couldn't listen. Lord, let us never be distracted by what you're doing or what you have done that we can't receive and welcome you in our lives. Number three, we have to position ourselves to be able to listen through time. Now, time is very, very wonderful thing. We have a lot of time. Sometimes we don't have enough time, it feels like. 24 hours in the day doesn't feel like enough time sometimes to do what we need to do, does it? Like, I'll just get this done. I'll quickly get this done. And then it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have enough time to finish. Didn't have enough time at all. It's tough, especially when you get on some type of project, you know, like, oh, I wish I had more daylight. I wish I had more time. I had more, you know, you're getting into that stuff. And it's hard because time is very important. And if you want to know what you value in life, show me your time and your wallet. Because I'll know what you value in life by seeing what you're spending your time on and what your wallet is. We have to be able to give God time. Even when it's untimely, we'll put it like that. John 4 is one of my favorite stories. It talks about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I love the story. So much you can unpack in that story, just so much. But what the Lord really wanted to highlight was time in this one. It says in John 4 that he had to go through Samaria. Had to go through. He didn't have an option. Jesus did not have an option. He had to go through Samaria to go where he was going. But it says he didn't have to stop there. The Bible doesn't say, oh, he had to stop in Samaria also, but he had to go through there to get to his destination. How many of you have ever driven 81? Okay, all right. There's a lot more than I've wrestled, obviously, but how many of you have driven 81? So there's a lot of you who have driven 81. Now, I've driven the 81 a lot. From Elam all the way down to Virginia, a lot of different times, and then from down to Virginia to back to here. I've driven 81 a lot. And there have been some places I have to go through. I have to go through Harrisonburg in Virginia. I have to go through it. And it's always the worst weather in Harrisonburg in Virginia. If there's going to be a drop of rain or something that's going on, it's always Harrisonburg. But I have to go through it. Now, one time in my journeys, I won't name the exit. just to say, I won't name the exit. But there was an exit because I had to use a restroom. I mean, you know, when you drive it on the road, 5 hours, you got to use it sometime or later. So I was like, all right, I have to go, and I had to pass by this exit. It's like, all right, I'm just going to stop at this exit because I have to go through here, so let's just go to the exit. I'll get off real quick, use the restroom, get back on. Well, what do you know? When I stopped at that exit, they didn't have a bathroom. There was one place on that exit, and they didn't have a bathroom. One little place, and I was like, I'm never stopping there again. I am not doing that. I had to stop in the next town, exit over. That was another 10 to 15 minutes. And I'm doing a dance in the car trying to, like, you know, you drive, you're like, oh, I got to go. I got to go soon. Dancing in the car. It's tough. I didn't have any kids with me, so I didn't have to worry about that. But I was like, man, I will never stop that exit again. And I still haven't done it today. I won't stop there. But Jesus had to go through Samaria, just like he did. But he didn't have to stop at that well. He didn't have to stop at that well, but he chose to. It's funny, the timing of this woman, she came out in the middle of the day. The worst time to come out. Because from what I understand about wells is, they were usually on the edge of town. They weren't usually always in the middle. They were on the edge of town. No trees to block any of the sun or anything like that. It was wide open. It was kind of almost like a little barren land around it. And it was hard work to put the bucket all the way down in the well. We're talking maybe 60 feet. And they got to pull up a bucket of water all the way up there. That's no joke. And it's in the middle of the day when it's hot. That's no fun. You want to go at the cool of the day, you know, where it's a little bit cooler, where you're like, okay, you know, the sun's kind of setting or it's kind of coming up. Not so bad. But she came out in the middle of the day. And Jesus was right there. His timing. We have to be careful of our timing with him. Because sometimes when we think of it as an untimely time, it could be a divine time for us. When the Lord calls you, you know, maybe you're at work or maybe you're doing something and the Lord calls you, he's like, hey, I want you to be with me for a minute. It might like, well, God, I don't know about this timing. Your timing is not so good about this, Lord. He'll provide ways you can separate yourself to come unto him. Or he's reminding you, like, hey, when you get a free moment, come unto me. Spend some time with me. And when you do, it's wonderful. We have to always have time for him. Because if we don't have time for him, we're missing out. If we don't spend time with him, then we don't become like him. If we don't become like him, then what are we doing? Now that we know how to better position ourselves from noise, from distractions, from time, how does God speak with us when we get that time, when we get in those places? God speaks in very different ways. It can be a still small voice, very small. It can be like that. God can speak to us. He can speak to us as signs and wonders, which are wonderful when they happen. Now, usually they're a little bit more grand, a little bit bigger. He can speak to us in peace, feeling that peace that passes all understanding in our hearts. It's wonderful. I love it. I recommend you guys should try it. It's good stuff. It really is. Open doors. When he starts opening up doors, you're like, wow, this door, I just went right in through this. I got this promotion. I got this position. I got this. I got this, you know. He opens up doors. It's like, wow, this is amazing. It's got to be God. He does it through other people. Sometimes God says, hey, I want you to talk to this person and encourage them. Or if he gives you a word, that's awesome. Gifts of the Spirit, he speaks that way to us. And then, of course, he speaks to us in his word. There's a lot of different ways, but we have to be able to position ourselves to be able to listen. Because if we don't do that, we'll miss a lot of these. Some of them we might not miss, like the signs and wonders. That's pretty usually a pretty big thing. So it's really hard to miss that, even with noise and distractions. But when you're praying about a certain situation, certain things going on, and you're like, God, I need to know, and he chooses to do something differently, then it's time to either hear a still small voice or to feel that peace and know that peace is there with you. Now, I've talked about us listening, which is great. So now we know a little bit more about listening. Now in this, I'm preaching this not because you don't know these things. I'm preaching it to remind you of these things. Because these are pretty basic, I feel like. These are pretty basic. These aren't, you know, seven keys of the kingdom and things like that. You know, nothing, you know, this is how we interpret Revelation. No, I'm not getting into that. So I feel like this is stuff that is to remind us on how to listen. Because God has a special place for each and every person in this house. He has a special calling. He has a special future for everyone in this house. But if you can't listen to what he's saying, or you can't separate himself, even Jesus separated himself. Fully God, fully man, separated himself to hear his Father. Even he did that. How much more should we? So we have to make sure we're able to listen to what he's saying. Now, listening is half the battle, but it's a very good part of it. Then we can start believing. You might be saying, well, Van, you know, all right, I believe, Van. Do you? Do you really? Sometimes? Let me ask you a question then. Was there an Adam and Eve in the Bible? Was there an Adam and Eve in the Bible? You can say yes, it's okay. Well, these are hard questions, I'll tell you. Was there an Adam and Eve in the Bible? Yes, okay. We've got that established. Did a man called David kill Goliath? Is that true? True? Yes? Yes. Okay. So the Bible's not wrong. Am I correct? No, it's written in there. It's correct, right? What about, did Moses lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Yes. I mean, with God's help, of course. Yes, he did that. That's in the Word, right? You sure? Are you sure it says it in this Word? Okay, I'm just making sure. All right. Was there a Mary and Joseph in the Bible? Yes, there was. Okay. Did Jesus come from Mary and Joseph? Not a trick question. Yes. Mother of God. You see how simple this is, correct? You're like, okay, then, I got you. Yes, 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 yes. Do we believe there was an Apostle Paul in the Bible? Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Yes, we do. Do we believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead from Jesus? Do we believe that? Then my question is, if we believe all those things and what the Bible says, why can't we believe that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus? Why can't we believe that God loves us and wants to help us in our lives? Why is it that we can't believe when God gives good gifts to his children, we have a hard time believing that? Why is that then? We read about Paul, we read about Moses, we read about David, we read about those things, and we believe those things, but why do we have a problem when it comes to us believing what Jesus is speaking to us in his word? Why is there a disconnect? Why do we feel like there's a disconnect? Greater works that you will do than I will, Jesus says. Amen. But do you believe it? Do you really believe it? There are so many scriptures that help us continue on in this Christian life, and yet we have a hard time believing. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 3. This is one of the things that can stump us from believing. And Jesus shows it perfectly. Matthew 3. And we're going to do verse 16 first. Matthew 3. This is Jesus getting baptized by John. Just a little bit of a storyline there, his cousin. He's like, John's like, oh no, you should baptize me. Jesus is like, no. You have to baptize me. That's the right way we're doing this. So in Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at the moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. That's what God says about Jesus. Says it right there. We'll read on. Then Jesus was led into the desert, into the wilderness to be tempted. That was chapter 4. And after fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. The tempter, which is also known as Satan, came to him and said, listen to what he says. If If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. What did God just say to Jesus a few verses ago? He said, "This is my Son whom I love." The enemy came right at him with, if you are the Son of God. If Jesus wasn't listening to what his Father said, there is no way he could respond to that. If he doubted what his Father said, there's no way he could be empowered by God. No way with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus said, he didn't even acknowledge I'm the Son of God. You don't have to acknowledge what you already know you are. If you have to say, oh, I'm this, then you're not walking in it. I see a lot of preachers and a lot of ministers, sometimes they'll say, oh, I'm bishop such and such, or I'm preacher such and such, or I'm evangelist, or I'm apostle such and such. And it breaks my heart because I'm like, if you are who you say you are, just walk in it. You don't have to tell people that. If you are who you say you are, you don't have to, you just be in that. You don't have to keep telling, oh, I'm actually this, I'm actually this. Because then you're not walking in title, you're walking in reputation, and you're walking then in insecurity, is what's happening. Verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written. He didn't even pay mind to what Satan said. If, he didn't even go there. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every mouth, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. God just said who Jesus was, and he's like, hey, you know what, Satan? But every word that comes from the mouth of God, you know, he said it's right. He didn't have to address any of that. And then, verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he says again, if you are the Son of God. He didn't do it once. He did it twice. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The devil had the audacity to say it again. The devil has the audacity to say, no, you're not who you're supposed to be. No, you're not called. No, you don't have any power. No, you don't have this. No, you don't have this. No, you're not a son or a daughter of Christ. No, 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 no. He has the audacity to say that. He said the audacity to say that to Jesus twice. But I love it that Jesus puts him in his place. And we can too. We have the authority for Christ. That the power of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of me. We have that same power, that same access that he does. And we can live in it. Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Tell you what, folks. I pray that we receive that more and more of believing in him. That there's not a disconnect. That there's not, oh, he said this about Paul. He's using this with Moses and things like that. That you won't let the devil lie to you and say if in your lives. That you'd be like, no, that's not, it's not if. It's I am. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. That's all I need. My identity is just placed all in him. Doesn't matter what happens in my life. If my identity is in him, my identity is safe. It's on the solid rock for which I stand. And all other ground is sinking sand. Come on. A few things why we don't believe it sometimes. And then I'll end with this.
why we don't believe. The disconnect can be fear. And I ask you, why are we afraid of believing that? Why are we afraid of believing what he has said in this word about us, about what we can do? Another one is identity. Something other than a child of God. We're believing something else. We don't believe we're a child of God because of something. Why aren't we believing that? If we ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and we've pledged our lives to him and that want to have a continual relationship with us, then we are sons and daughters of him. That's what we are. That's what he says we are. Help us to receive that. Help us to believe that. And any other voice besides that one is not of him, it's from Satan. Maybe we're believing some lies or ungodly beliefs. Like, well, once I asked Jesus in my heart one time and it wasn't really real. I mean, I was, you know, there's and you know, with things not being really real, maybe I was younger and I didn't really, you get into all these complicated things. You know, all these ungodly beliefs because you're like, well, you know, I was young and I didn't really know what I was saying in a sense. And then you try to analyze it and try to get yourself out of that. No. I'm not saying that if you ask Jesus in your heart when you're little, you're not saved. What I'm saying is live your life for him now. I'm not saying that, you know, don't get caught up in all the little details, all the little lies of such. Live for him now. That way you know you're in direct relationship with Christ and you are living for him and you are a part with him. You're in service with him. Don't get caught up on the little details the enemy loves to throw at you. Well, you know, like Satan says, well, Eve, did God really say those things? Will you really surely not die? You know, if you are the Son of God, don't let those things dissuade you in any way. Another thing we don't believe is experiences we've had. That's tough. I'm not going to lie. Experiences we've had where things did not turn out the way we thought they would. And then we question God in its entirety because of one experience that might have been traumatic, a few experiences that happened that did not go the way we thought. And then we question everything God does based on those one or two things. And we're fragile. Some of you might think, well, what do you mean by fragile? If you go to a McDonald's and have a horrible meal, how long will it be before you go to McDonald's again? Come on. A year? Maybe never? Maybe if you really like McDonald's, like maybe I had a bad day, I don't know. Maybe the cook was a little, you know, wasn't quite there. Or how many of that times, or like myself, how many times have I been to that gas station since then, I couldn't use the restroom there. How many times would I be there to buy food or get gas? Zero. Because we're fragile people at times. You may not think of it that way, but we're fragile. How many times have you thought about that person that hurts you in the past? And you'll say, I'll never forgive them for what they did. Or maybe something happened that God allowed to happen that you feel like, and you're like, well, I can't trust God because I gave him that and it didn't turn out the way I thought it would. Or in my life, I heard definitely different things that was going to happen with my father, but through dreams, through people saying things, that he was going to be either resurrected or restored, and it would be fine, and we would do things together, and I had this expectation that my father would be healed, and all that time lost would be restored unto me, but then he died, and he didn't come back. My unmet expectation. How could you do this for me, Father? How could you take my father? How could you take your servants and do that to him? Do that to me and my mom and my sister? How could you do that? All he did was serve you. He was assistant pastor, for Christ's sake. How could you do that? And my answer came in this. I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. I'm not here for me. I'm not here to serve my kingdom. I'm here for his. And how dare I try to make it about my kingdom when one of his greatest servants was welcomed? How dare I do that? How dare I try to make my own time, my own thing with my father, when he is being eternally in his presence and getting the greatest reward? Well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't believe because of our experiences. So I want to challenge you today, church. Challenge you today. God's got great things in store for you. But we have to be willing to listen. And most importantly, we have to believe that what he says is true. Because if we don't do that, if we're listening and not believing, we'll be crippled Christians for the rest of our lives. And that's only what we will reproduce in this house. God has great things for everyone in this house to do. I can see people doing great things, but it's up to you whether you decide to embrace what God has, listen to what he has, and believe what he has for you, and go after it, or whether you'll be like, well, I'll listen, but I'm not really believing. And if you have any different ideas that you're not great in his kingdom, deeply loved, deeply appreciated, if you have problems believing that, then think of this, that but while we were yet sinners, while we were stuck in our own self, while we were sinning, while we were godless, while we were doing our own thing, Christ died for us. He died for us. And he said, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care the pain. I don't care what's going on. I am going to bring them into my fold. I will give them a choice and a chance to become one with me, is what he's saying. Regardless if they reject me or not, I am living and dying to give them a choice that they could spend eternal life with me. And not just in heaven, but here on earth, and have a great life with me and build my kingdom. All of the other stuff, all of the other experiences might be very tough. Not saying they're not. All the outcomes from things, all the fear, all the identity, all the lies, all that stuff, it's tough. I'm not going to lie about that. And you can go into a deep and dark place on some of them. But if Christ is willing to give his life to do everything he did just for a chance that you might accept him, how great of an act is that? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now for what you're doing in this house. God, we have some awesome people here at CLCC. And Lord, I pray that you would just show them how awesome they are, Father, more and more. That you've got great plans, that you've got great things in store for them. That these are powerhouse people. Because they have you dwelling inside of them. And all power and all authority. That they can heal the sick. That they can minister to the needy. that they have the authority of Christ to cast out demons. I thank you, Lord, that you've put me in this place to encourage this congregation, this house, to be what you've called them to be. And you have great plans for each and every one of them. No matter what age, no matter what has happened in their lives, you've called them all and you've got greatness in store for them. We thank you, Father. Help us to listen to you more and help us to believe what we're hearing from you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. We're dismissed. You guys have a wonderful day. Be blessed.